it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. I am your host tonight, Jake Anderson. I'm subbing in for the normal, incomparable host, Nick Burnaby, who is the founder of Antimedia.org, who is taking a much-needed vacation. He's in Detroit. And, he's in Costa Rica. Sorry, I get those two confused sometimes. But yeah, he's taking a vacation, and he's probably celebrating, as many activists are celebrating, because people who are fighting against the corporatocracy, against the network of government interest and corporations that have fused together to stifle the common man, have been issued a severe defeat. The people have won momentarily, temporarily, at Standing Rock, in a long-awaited victory for the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has denied a permit for the Dakota Access Pipeline. That came down late Sunday, and it has been reverberating across the airwaves. I mean, you wouldn't know it too much from listening to mainstream media. I tune in to all of them just to kind of get a feel for what they're reporting and what they're not reporting. And sure enough, it's as it has been for the last year. It's been mostly about Trump, which of course is why Donald Trump is our president right now, because the media realized it could make money off of him. That's obviously not the only reason Trump is president. It's a very complex issue. But, you know, tonight's one of those rare times where we can celebrate, and should be having Claire Bernish, an incredible reporter. She is at Standing Rock and should be calling in. And right now I'm trying to add a call here. Our co-host DB Schwartz is calling in. And you there, man? I hope you're here in a second. But yeah, we have an embedded reporter in at Standing Rock in the ice cold, and I'm hoping she calls in. DB, are you there?
Yeah, I am. We've been keeping up on it, you know, because we're the biggest major city closest to what's going on, and you know, it's pretty interesting what's happening. I guess they're going to try to just keep doing what they're doing and suffer the fines. But I've also heard that the line's not really being, you know, changed too much. People are staying. Yeah, some people are leaving. Some people have to get back to their, you know, commitments. But I think a lot of the veterans are staying. A lot of people realize that the private army is still there and all the construction equipment is still there. So,
right.
You know, I mean, these guys don't care about a $50,000 a day fine. That's like me and you paying $5 a day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I from what I'm hearing, from every report I've heard, people are staying. I think some of the elders have told people to go home. At least that's what the media is reporting.
Yeah.
But I think it's more an issue of the elders not wanting. I think there's probably, I mean, I don't know, but I think there's probably some clear divisions of the types of people that are there protesting. I think you probably have people that just kind of want in on some historic action, and then people that actually know what's going down and know what's at stake here. And but
you got to also wonder, too, with some of these people that are coming out saying, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers has gone ahead and taken back the easement and there's not going to be any construction going on. Everybody go home. You got to wonder the particular people saying this, because a lot of people are saying, no, do not go home. Do not go home. This is all a ruse and a ploy. And you have to wonder, the people saying that to go home, did they get got to? I mean, did they get bought?
Well, I think it's just the media misrepresenting. I mean, they do that constantly. And all it takes is just a tiny little talking point slipped into your broadcast notes. And you just read off the teleprompter like Ron Burgundy and Anchorman, you know? But, you know, we... our excellent reporter, she actually writes for a number of different online publications. Claire Burnish is there. She said she was going to call in. It's either going to be tonight, Wednesday, or Friday, but she's definitely going to give us some incredibly juicy scoop from what's going down there. Right now, she's probably in, do you know what the weather there is? I mean, I know it's snowy, but do you know what the temperature there is?
What I read in where they're standing was that it was under 26. So I'm guessing with wind chill right now, you're probably looking at below zero. The planes really, they get hammered. So yeah, below zero, I'd have to guess.
So Honor, I just want to, we're going to talk about a bunch of different things tonight. A few headlines from the store, a few headlines from the antimedia.org as usual. But I mean, I think this is worth, even though we do have to keep our head on a swivel, and I certainly don't give any credit to the Obama administration over this, or the government for that matter. I think this was pure just, wow, they're really not going to stop. But I do want to harp on this as much as possible. So Honor the Earth National Campaigns Director, Tara said, we have won. The original peoples of these lands fought with all of our hearts against the injustice and won. We have been maced, tased, demeaned, hit with water cannons and below freezing temperatures. We stand on the strength of our ancestors before us. The inaction from the administration and the media was answered by our refusal to back down. Let this send a message around the world. We are still here. We are empowered. We are not sacrifice zones. Water is life. Pretty powerful stuff there, and it's just so heartening for when indigenous cultures get victories like this. I mean, it makes me happy, DB, because it, not so much because this is going to change the world, because it's not, but this is part of a movement that is gaining strength by the day. And it's not, you know, we're building up towards an unstoppable, an immovable force meeting an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object, which is the will of the people, the zeitgeist that wants change and demands change, hitting head to head with the deep state. And of course, they're going to have to give way on certain things like this. They're going to have to give way on things like the drug war. They're going to have to give way People are not going to accept their bullshit anymore, and that's what we're seeing. And say what you will about alternative media, say what you will about the internet and quote unquote fake news, this would not be happening right now without a groundswell of grassroots journalism. It simply would not be happening.
Yeah, I mean it the onslaught against the so-called fake news where everybody I'm seeing now that's saying any that's parroting that term fake news, I'm just saying my simple retort is fake people use the term fake news. It's simply not used by anyone that's not a troll. It's a manufactured term. It's
Oh
just
no,
like
I got it.
social it's social justice warrior. It's all these other hot button points and all these trigger terms. And only idiots fall for them. So just stop. Let's stop using them.
Stop using. So what should we use instead? Just as a way to refer to the phenomenon.
Well, I mean, look at a site and look at where the server is for first. First and foremost, if it's in Romania, it's not a legitimate news source, okay? So there's an easy way where you can get an add-on through Firefox that tells you exactly what country every website you go to is. And the ones that are in countries where, what would they know about U.S. policy? You don't read that stuff. So, get a clue, get some critical thinking
Yeah, get a
skills.
clue. That's
I
the
mean,
big thing is I got accused of it. I had a bad link in one of my articles. I had a bad link, and I'll admit I did a little bit of sloppy journalism, but the core of the story was intact. And this guy came on my Facebook page, and just this kind of like hipster neghead downer dude who I've been to Burning Man with. And he was just on me and on me and on me and, just wasting. I was in a great mood. I came home, I was in a great mood, and this guy just eviscerated my good mood. And finally, I got past all of, I was engaging with him rhetorically, as in, why this is not fake news. Just because you have one bad link does not make something fake news. Journalists make mistakes. Finally, I simply said, "Hey, go drink a PBR and shut the fuck up." And sometimes you have to just say it like it is, and people are gonna stay in their little safe zones of thinking they're everyone. Whatever you have to tell yourself, everyone's a hero in their mind. Everyone's the protagonist of their own story. No one's ever gonna admit they're a piece of shit. I'm the only one. I
But
might
for
be the only.
God's sake, look who writes the damn article. I mean, don't just read a headline and go, you know what? It sounds good to me. That's definitely my reality. Now let me go spread it out into the world. Like when I actually like listen to things and listen to what people say, I'll go read up and try to find, a bunch of different people saying the same thing. And you know what? It never happens. There's never a consensus. The only consensus ever in any news is from the actual MSM. They follow the government parroting media. That's it. That's what they
No,
are.
you're
So,
right. You're right.
how do you know what's fake? Okay, there's only
Exactly, man.
one true source for facts,
There is no
and that is
consensus.
and that's data, right? And who produces and controls data? Government. So what you're telling me is that if you don't have mainstream media that uses what we, for all we know, could be completely fabricated government data, there's no one else to there's no competitor. There's no citizen watch group making sure that what CNN puts out actually exists in reality and not on a green screen.
What would you rather listen to? A corporate trumpet, a State Department echo chamber, or the sweet flute of alternative media? For me, that's an easy answer. Give me the flautist any day of the week. Okay, I'm going to move on from easily the most hideous thing I've ever said.
It would have been better if you said the sweet keys of the pianist.
That's why I love you, DB. You will say the sweet keys of the pianist. So in another statement, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and I don't want to get this wrong. What's the name of the lake that there is? It Ahua Lake, Oahu. I don't know. All right, the Standing Rock Tribe has said today the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced that it will not be granting the easement to cross Lake Iyu for the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline. Instead, the Corps will be undertaking an environmental impact statement to look at possible alternative routes. We wholeheartedly support the decision of the administration and commend with the utmost gratitude the courage it took on the part of President Obama, the Army Corps, the Department of Justice, and the Department of the Interior to blah, 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 whatever. They're just, this is their little, they're playing the game here. We know damn well that President Obama has one thing on his mind right now, and that's safeguarding Obamacare as much as he can, possibly safeguard it, so that the Democrats can filibuster the hell out of it, anything that the Republicans try and do to it. Because that's his only legacy, because that's literally all he did. And is that mostly the part of obstructionism on part of the Republicans? Yes, but remember, Obama had 2 years with a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate. And I don't know about you, but I can't remember a single thing he did during that time. Can you?
Nothing positive.
Nothing positive, and that's the problem. And that's, if you really want to know the difference between Democrats and Republicans, Republicans get things done, and Democrats sit around with this neoliberal thumb up their ass and continue siphoning money to the 20%, whereas Republicans siphon money to the 1%. So, you know, you get a slight difference in the redistribution of wealth, but the fact of the matter is, you're still siphoning money away from the working class. And if you read any piece by Frank Thomas, and that's a shout out to my mom. My mom is a huge fan of Frank Thomas, but he's eviscerated the Democratic Party right now. And you know, it's pretty loud and clear who is coming out and talking about Standing Rock besides Denis Kucinich. I actually wrote an article about it. It hasn't come out on the site yet, but Kucinich is about to pay a visit. Now he announced that over the weekend on Friday, before they stood down. So I don't know what's going to happen now, but I would say now more than ever you need to double down and get people there and make sure that they don't try and renege on this. I don't know. Let's what else we got on the plate here? Hey, this is interesting. This was on the antimedia.org today. Researchers find MDMA and psilocybin mushrooms help those with post-traumatic stress disorder and cancer. It's just some new research that's come out, and that doesn't surprise me for a split second. I went through a period of time where I had a form of post-traumatic stress syndrome, and I'm not going to say I did every drug on God's green earth, but I'm not going to say I didn't. And those kinds of things, anyone who does them knows that they help re-network the circuitry of your brain. And here is finally, the Food and Drug Administration has given the green light on the third and final phase of trials in a large-scale study of the benefits of MDMA as treatment for post-traumatic stress syndrome. Now, I'm not going to sit here and advocate drug use, but should this thing be Schedule 1? No. And on that note, another possibly soon-to-be Schedule 1 drug, Kratom, which has not killed a soul, unlike alcohol, cigarettes, fast food, Red Bull, cars, all things that are legal and pretty aggressively advertised to us all year round. Somehow those things are legal, but Kratom, which helps people get off the painkillers that doctors are over-prescribing, somehow Kratom is what they want to make Schedule 1. I'm a big activist on this, and I tell you what, if you see Kratom go Schedule 1, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I tell you what, I'll definitely be doing a lot of writing, and it's going to be full of invective, because we cannot continue to allow the government to make plants illegal, plants that help people, medicinal plants, medicinal minerals and substances. I am of the persuasion that I think most drugs should be legal, because I don't trust the government as a moral arbiter. Never have, never will. And furthermore, we're finding out that a lot of these drugs straight up help you. LSD, Good for you. It should give it to kids in high school. Well, not high school, college. Should be mandatory. No, not mandatory. I'll take that back. Let me just say this. People in the know who have done it should guide people on wonderful little trips to help them, discover parts of themselves, and also to help break down the matrix we're living in. And I hate to sound so cliched about it, but it's true. Kids need to understand that they're living in a dystopia of advertising, government malfeasance, and corporatocracy. Instead of just accepting it, they need to be fully embracing it and shattering it. But guess who has an invested interest in that not happening? Well, the same people that are making these drugs illegal. DB, I know you have strong opinions on this issue. Are you familiar with kratom? Have you taken kratom?
I've never indeed tried it, but I mean, when I did read up on it and see how it could have prevented many things that I've personally seen happen to family members with the jump from an opiate-based painkiller to, I kid you not, overnight heroin, okay,
Right.
because they get their supply cut off from their doctor or their insurance or both. And, they start going to the ghetto and they buy heroin from drug dealers who then in turn tell them they'll kill them if they don't get more and more cash. So you see these things happen. This is the reason why kratom is being threatened is because it itself threatens the opiate painkiller
Oh,
addiction train, which is a
absolutely.
massive, massive industry. So that and marijuana. Now, why have they decided to focus on kratom? Because marijuana is now in the public eye. It's the public culture. People now realize that the last 90 or 100 years of pseudoscience was total bullshit, that probably the elites have been smoking and drinking and eating marijuana to cure their own cancer for a long time and had patented it back in the 40s and 50s. So they've known that. They've known about LSD being able to cure psychological problems. That and psilocybin, psychedelics. And of course, ayahuasca is a complete reset when done appropriately. So, I mean, if you have a problem now in life where you have a hang up psychologically and mentally, there is hope for help, and it doesn't have to come from a pharmaceutical.
Yes, great point. There are people out there listening right now. Believe it or not, there are people actually listening to this. And thank you, by the way. Many of you have, I don't know how many, but certainly more than a few of you probably have some kind of drug substance abuse problem. I myself have certainly had one for years and years and years under the auspices of having some kind of psychiatric problem. I was able to regularly get prescriptions to Adderall. I've been able to use the specter of a pinched nerve in my neck to get steady access to Vicodin, which of course turned into a low-level addiction. I was fortunate for some reason in that that one didn't grab me forever, which is good, of course, but it didn't turn me to the point where, well, when the prescription ran out, I need to run out and get heroin, which of course is what happened to many people, including Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is one of my favorite actors. And you know, this is a man, I mean, he is the epitome of this thing happening. This is a guy who was sober for 20 years, went sober in college because he realized that he was an addict. He had an addict brain. It's a disease. It's a disease where when something makes you feel good, your pleasure center in your brain rewires itself. Okay, so he was sober for over 20 years, all through all of those big movies he did. Okay, on the cast party after the wrap party of the movie The Master, he had one little glass of champagne. Okay, soon after that, he had a surgery that required him taking a painkiller. And basically, that started the tidal wave of drug addiction from pills to harder pills, and then once the pills ran out, to heroin, and it literally consumed and destroyed his life in the period of 2 years. And that's just a microcosm. That happens to people all across the world. And it's an epidemic in the US right now. So for them to be taking a harmless powder that is made out of a Malaysian plant that's in the same family as coffee, for them to be trying to push that into Schedule One, there's literally no words for it. I believe it is actually criminal. I think they're actually killing people. I got into an argument with a friend of the other guy, actually, who had accused me of fake news because he was saying it's not literal. I was saying the DEA will be literally killing people. Okay. Well, it depends how you want to define literally. If you're depriving someone of medicine that will cause them to take something that kills them, well, that would be manslaughter, would it not? Is that not literally killing someone if you commit manslaughter against them? I mean, we can argue semantics all night, but at the end of the day, if someone has diabetes and you steal their diabetes medicine from them and they die, you killed them. And that's the way it is with kratom for a lot of people. And not everyone uses it just for painkiller replacement. A lot of people use it for depression. I use it for depression. Use it for anxiety. It can even be used for ADD. It's just something that can relax and center you. And whatever you think, whatever your personal opinion is about taking substances, that's your opinion. But guess what? Your opinion does not get to dictate other people's lives. And the government seems to forget this on a regular basis, that it is not their role here on the earth to be moral arbiters of what we put in our bodies, what we think in our brains, and what we do in our actions, as long as we are not affecting another human being. And this is just an argument that's not going to get any less vociferous over the years. And I'm sick of it, quite frankly. I don't know. I mean, I could talk about the drug war for forever, but at the end of the day, I don't know. How many decades do you think we got before they decriminalized marijuana, DV?
I don't know, man. I guess they'll leave it up to the states, to be honest. And there's many places where it never ever will be, and there's just resistance to it because the people there are idiots.
Right.
And that's just what it is. I don't know, man. The money thing is just going to make it to where I'm sure they'll leave it up to states to legalize it and just determine how they want to allow it to be. Like here in Minnesota, where it's extremely trendy. It's medicinal, and now it's medicinal for pain, and pretty soon it's going to be medicinal for PTSD, and then it's a slippery slope from there to where it becomes full retail at some point, or like it is now in California. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be left up to the states, I'm sure.
Yeah, so some states will roll with it, other states won't. I think we can know right off the bat. Well, I mean, obviously it's already legal in Oregon, Washington, Colorado. No, is it Nevada now?
Was it Nevada? I don't think so. I think that became medicinal.
Right, okay. All right, that's right. You're right. It is medicinal. Did California pass it this time
Yeah,
around?
California's full retail as of January 6th, I believe. And that's big news, because what that means is cancer sufferers can now go buy CBD oil legally, and it's going to revolutionize their treatment. I
Right.
mean, I can't even begin to tell you how much this is going to awaken people to the scam of what the chemotherapy industry is, how it's indeed only going to buy you time and never cure you, and in fact has been proven that it in fact plants new cancers for later so that you need chemo later. Because that's what happens. You never go into remission, ever. It's just a time bomb.
Yeah. It's a sad thing. I mean, everyone knows someone either close to them or semi close to them that's dealt with cancer, and it's never an easy decision when someone has to, take on a treatment plan. And but it at the very least, people have the right to alternative treatments, and we need more research in order to be able to have a basis for knowing whether what marijuana can do. There's a lot of promising research going on right now, but until it's fully decriminalized, we're not going to get it. And it's the same with GMOs as well. Until non-corporate, independent people that don't own the patent to the GMOs are studying the GMOs, we're not going to know what's really going on with those.
But, yeah, I mean, what's even more kind of frightening, and I don't know if we're going to bridge into some of this UK ring, Jake, and then we'll continue on with some of the Pizzagate stuff. I can probably get Elle back if we want to add her in a little bit later. But what's going on right now is this John Podesta is trying to pass what's called HR 6383. Please look it up. It's going to be it's probably most likely going to be proposed by Republican Devin Nunes. And it's essentially what it's known as the fake news bill. Okay, so this is an official bill where they're going to, if they're going to be able to
Are you
show
looking
any,
at this right now? Can you message this to me?
Yeah, hold on just a sec. So everybody, they can go on vote.co, VOAT.co. That's kind of where stuff's starting to come up now, where you can't find it on Twitter anymore. Or you can't find it on Reddit because those are corporate owned and they've scrubbed this, because this story, people will break our government in half, and it'll create an internal war that will become what would be, it would make the Night of the Long Knives, if people are history buffs, it would make that look like child's play, because we would have a house cleaning that would be potentially in the hundreds of thousands of people implicated in these rings if it goes all the way to the top. And this house bill they're trying to pass here, if it gets to Obama will sign it in a heartbeat, because he believes it'll protect him, because he's going to, I promise you people, if things go down the way I believe they may, he will indeed be implicated himself. So everybody in the current administration has something to lose. This is why they're getting desperate and trying to pass these backdoor deals. Again, HR 6383, anyone listening, we need to build pressure to block it. It needs to stop. This is a blatant attack on the First Amendment, a complete attack where they can shut a site down by coming up with some kind of evidence that it's Russian propaganda. And you know how they're going to just implicate anybody they don't want with any evidence they can just hack and come up with. It's just going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, certainly going to be a nightmare. We have many nightmares coming here. I want to hedge into that. There's another story I wanted to go into here, which is the judge declares mistrial in the Walter Scott case. And you can find that. It was written by Josie Wales, who's a great, great journalist for the anti-media. And basically, after 4 days of deliberation, a South Carolina judge has declared a mistrial in the murder case against the police officer who killed Walter Scott. And that's former officer Michael Slager. Now, for those of you who might need a reminder, this is that case where literally it's the guy running and the cop shoots him in the back like six times, or however many times it was. Like the most like blatant example of murder that I can imagine, but there was a mistrial on it. Basically, he was caught on video shooting Walter Scott in the back five times from behind after a traffic stop led to a foot chase. At the time of the incident, Slager radioed that Scott had grabbed his taser 6 seconds after opening fire and before there was any knowledge that he had been filmed. But what he didn't know was that he was on film. So he lied about a couple things, including this guy having a taser. And in the video, you basically see the officer picking his taser up and putting it down next to the body of the man that he had just shot five times in the back. So you know what? The jury, in my opinion, should have come back with a guilty verdict, but at least it's not over. at least there's still hope. I mean, we have to get one of these cops properly prosecuted. And I'm not saying lock up every cop. I'm not, you know, I'm a Black Lives Matter advocate to my dying day, but you know, I'm not going to say every cop is evil, but ones that shoot people at point blank range, who shoot unarmed people, they are evil and they should go to prison, just the way we would if we did the same thing. And so this is a disturbing case. And well, look, at least this guy has to go through it all again. I feel bad for. I feel bad for Walter Scott's family. I mean, I can't imagine there being a videotape of someone I love running and being shot in the back.
And there's going to be a civil suit, and they're going to get 3 or 4 million bucks or whatever, and that the people are going to have to pay that in some form or fashion. It won't be the PD that loses anything. It won't be cops being fired or losing anything. So, you know, it's just a slap in the face, you know. They can execute at will. Virtually almost 99% of the time suffer no repercussions, not even demerit. And the city doesn't indeed pay for it without just jacking the price up somewhere else to get that paid. It's coming out of a slush fund somewhere. So it's not like the PD is taking a cut or anything. And I don't know what we're going to have to do before we get to the point where it becomes needed to have them personally liable with their own insurance policies so that their insurance policies can pay out, not the city. And then their premium can skyrocket. You know what? When a policeman, when somebody who's in the police, if they fire their firearm and their insurance needs to pay out due to a civil lawsuit, then that they deserve to have their premiums raised, thus make a lot less per year because they need to cover those premiums. I think that's only natural, only logical. A cop will think twice about killing someone if they know they're going to make a lot less every year because their premiums are going to go up on their insurance policy. And if they're talking about private citizens needing to have a gun insurance now, which they are, and the reason they're doing that is because they want to take it out of the hands of the plebes and make this insurance like 4 or 5 grand a year. Well, cops for sure need to have that, and they need to have a commercial strength. You know, something in the neighborhood of a grand a month wouldn't be out of the question to protect these guys from killing us, and then making sure they have to pay for it, not us. I mean, I don't understand why that's such a hard concept to grasp. I mean, seems pretty logical to me. I have no idea. What are you with us, Jake, or what's going on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, man? I don't see it happening any other way because body cams are just going to get shut off,
Nothing's gonna
and these
happen,
guys,
dude.
you know, they have to be personally held like liable in an insurance policy, right?
They'll convict a couple of them in a couple cases just to keep people from openly rioting in the streets. I mean, they've already done it a little bit, but you know, one of these at some point it's gonna go over the edge. And they'll basically have to convict someone. But beyond that, I've always argued the cops and the military, these are forms of ritualistic violence, and they're showing us that the corporate state can kill with impunity. I'm kind of lifting that from Chris Hedges, but you know, I don't know, man. The corporate state is, they're gonna do what they're gonna do, and they need us to be compliant. Yeah. I
Yep,
don't
I
know.
don't know, man. I think the guy that they have on the Young Turks now, he was a former Baltimore PD guy. I'll try to look him up here. He was saying that, you know, if you look back historically at the charter of the original Pinkerton police force, they were created to protect property of the slave owning class, to restore the property of the slave owning class if it were stolen or if it escaped, aka the slaves. And then anybody who did damage to that property, either be it the guy's mansion or plantation or whatever, or tried to free a slave or stole a guy's horse or anything like that. They were definitely employed to deploy lethal force on said, you know, assailants to that. So they were armed, man. Back in the day when everybody had guns, these guys were running around like with Tommy guns, you know, in the 1850s and 60s, you know, after the Civil War, you know. So I don't know, man. It's always what the PD's been. Before the PD, before the police department, we had the city watch, and it was way different.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I sometimes wish that I was part of a police family just so I knew more inside scoop about it, because I'm in this echo chamber of just anti-cop rhetoric, and anytime I'm in that kind of echo chamber, I hate that, because I like to see both sides of the story. That's why, and I say this all the time, but you know, when I wake up, the first thing I do is I look at CNN and Huffington Post, and then I look at Breitbart and InfoWars, and it just to get both sides of it. And it's weird now, because the alt-right has taken over Fox, so there's no point even looking at Fox anymore. They're just trumpeting what, you know, InfoWars and Breitbart want you to see. And really, it should just be saying at this point, Breitbart. Breitbart is, they are going to be the MSNBC of the next 4 years. And it's a pretty terrifying prospect. But there's this great meme going around. DB, I don't know if you saw it, but it's Alex Jones. And then it's the last four sentences of 1984. Where, you know, he finally loved Big Brother, and it's so accurate. I mean, it's just so hilarious how Alex Jones went from this anti-establishment figure to just, I mean, why is he, I don't even get it. Why is Alex Jones so obsessed with Trump? Do you know? I mean,
I guess the people that dig into it have found there's some correlation between where they have money supply trains coming from, which is, you know, the Great Bear. So, you know, Russian oligarchs are definitely financing Donald to a degree, and then they've bought Alex. And, of course, their open network is RT, and their closed is InfoWars. There's not, you know, we've cross-infiltrated with Russia so much. So much, we might as well just be like an alliance with them at this point. We backstabbed and infiltrated each other so much, we couldn't even fight. Like, if there was ever a war, we'd both know it before each other even started it. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched The Americans, Jake, but like, that stuff's got to be at this point like way more advanced than just families living in each other's countries and like absorbing the culture. Like, I'm sure there's FBI agents that are working for the other side and vice versa. So, I mean, we're so ingrained, and the Cold War necessitated that, because everybody knew as soon as ICBMs reached a point where they couldn't be shot down by intercepting missiles, which they're at now, and they have been for a while, everybody knew, like, any war would just be, like, completely mad, mutually assured destruction, and everybody knew at that point war was changed. It would never be open conflict. It would have to be, like, either proxy or it would have to be subterfuge and infiltration. Well, I guess the other thing to look into, too, basically with Alex, is that he's been in the game a really, really, really long time. So over the years, I mean, I'm sure he's seen things happen. As far as where his own money comes from. And, you know, I think that he's kind of, you at a point you kind of see your competitors like the Young Turks and other people, and they're hitting the big leagues with production and getting their money. I mean, the Young Turks, which I call the Young Turds now, because they sold out to Univision. So they're a mouthpiece now for the Democratic Party. And you'll start to see their message change subtly, like Huffington Post really, really did after they sold out to AOL. So
Huffington Post is the worst now. I can't even. To think that I ever regarded them. Well, so let's see. We got about 15 minutes left. There's two directions we could go in. I've been reading a bunch about advanced aliens, And you've been reading a lot about Pizzagate. I don't think we can combine them, but we could try.
Funny you say that because there was a mural on Comet Pizza's website, and it was a typical gray playing ping pong with a child mural on their wall. And if you research and look into what the grays represent, the grays are, you can look this up. It's an MK Ultra imprint used to split the mind during intense sexual assault, which they use to split the personality so they can create mind slaves. And they imprint this backstory for the mind, the subconscious, to accept, which is an alien abduction, so that these grays are not, they're figments of imagination, or if anything, they're demons, but not the classic alien. And that the whole Roswell is just a BS cover story. I mean, but I definitely want to hear what you say, because I hope it's interdimensional as opposed to
Well,
extraterrestrial.
you know me, man. For me, it's the alien existence, whatever it is, it's completely interdependent with studies of the singularity. And because the only way to travel these kinds of distances are, they have to be relatively advanced. So the article I've been looking at, which it's on a site called UFOolic, UFOolic. As in addicted to UFOs, I guess. It's the name of the article is the Universe One Big Alien, which was just about the coolest title I've ever seen. And the headline they use is, "Could the entirety of existence be one humongous extraterrestrial entity? Columbia University astrophysicist Caleb Schwarf believes it's possible." And so let me get to some of the meat here. Basically, he's pointing out that, we don't know what most of the universe is made of. We don't understand dark matter and dark energy. Some astronomers, noting subtle mismatches between observations and models, have suggested that dark matter actually has a richer internal life. And I've actually written about this, which is that we're finding that there could be forms of life that are based solely on dark matter. We just don't understand it yet. But in that case, dark matter could contain real complexity, and perhaps it is where all the technologically advanced life ends up, or where most life has always been. What better way to escape? What this article says is, what better way to escape the nasty vagaries of supernova and gamma ray bursts than to adopt a form that is immune to electromagnetic radiation? Upload your world to the huge amount of real estate on the dark side and be done with it. I thought that was a pretty good quote. If a civilization managed to live long enough to decode the myriad subtleties life encompasses, it could theoretically recreate the process in a different, much safer medium. It would be the transmutation of the mundane into the heavenly, or the normal matter to dark matter data transfer system. For many cosmologists, that means our universe must be part of a mass multiverse where the strength of dark energy varies from place to place. We live in one of the places suitable for life like us. Elsewhere, dark energy is stronger and blows the universe apart too quickly for cosmic structures to form and life to take root. So, finally, dark matter and dark energy shape our universe and keep it together. Gravity is simply too weak, and the galaxies would simply disintegrate without these exotic components. That part is true. Here's where it gets speculative. It is possible that by transferring themselves into this ambient field, the hyper-advanced aliens gave life as we know it a chance to express itself. Perhaps, Schwarf concludes, perhaps hyper-advanced life isn't just external. Perhaps it's already all around. It is embedded in what we perceive to be physics itself, from the root behavior of particles and fields to the phenomena of complexity and emergence. It's a pretty interesting theory. I mean, we don't have proof yet, so don't go looking for a source for it. I don't think you're going to find that on CNN or Breitbart for that matter, but hey, it's an interesting theory. I don't know. If there's an element of the Matrix to it, I guess. I don't know. That's just where my head's been, so I wanted to get it out there. We could go on forever about that.
I think that prevalent theory, at least in my mind, suggests that spooky action at a distance kind of predicts that we are living in a actual holographic reality that doesn't exist without observation. Therefore, we're actually in an existence that is an experience. So people need to realize that this is a body that you chose, and it's definitely a time that you chose. Now everything else is probably a random
This is
occurrence.
a call for.
Yeah, I don't know what else really to add to that, except that if
Yeah.
you think that The Matrix was a movie and you look at it in a way that we could in fact be in some type of I guess a matrix that was created for our own learning experiences to enrich ourselves, our true selves, which is probably it could very well be that our physical form, if we have one at all, is very different than you think it is. There's a phenomenon, if you do enough ayahuasca appropriately, which I would definitely recommend you do in Peru, just so you get the correct dose and the alkaloids so that your body processes it slowly over 8 hours. At any rate, there is a phenomenon where you can either experience the outer world, which I believe is about 70% of the time that happens, and people tend to want to wander off into the jungle, which is why they're very carefully supervised. Or about 20 something percent have what's introspective, which is me, which is what I had, and then something like 5% have a bad one, which one guy had, and they put him to sleep with another stew. So
They didn't choke him out.
no, they just said drink this, and he drank it, and then he went to sleep. And in the morning he woke up and he's like, I don't remember what happened. We're like, yeah, you were having a bad one. So
What's the signs? Like, what how do you know when someone's starting to have a bad one?
oh, just started screaming.
Oh.
And that'll happen sometimes with LSD and with shrooms with some people. Some people, they don't handle hallucinogens well. So, I had the introspective period, and there's a period where a lot of people will see like a woman's face, and the two snakes sharing the body will coil into her mouth. That's
Oh,
supposed to
I
be like the
couldn't do
goddess.
that, man. I got a snake phobia.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
I guess that was like she represented the goddess that created reality or birthed it. And it was like our choice to come down here. It was like our choice to be human or whatever. And then like supposedly you see which your true self. And for me, it was just like I was just like a big white glowing like, form, with eyes. I could see my own eyes looking back at me, but I didn't really have like a body, so to speak. So, results may vary, but typically you're supposed to see like what you would be or what you'd think you'd be on the other side of this life or this experience. You're kind of looking back at source or where you're coming from. And like that's what heaven is. But there's a trap. Supposedly we're in like a karmic loop on this plane, and like when you walk into the bright light at death, you actually come back again, you reincarnate. People say, well, if you don't walk into the bright light, what do you like, what happens? Like, if you don't follow that path, like, do you have anyone to guide you, or are you just like an empty consciousness floating out in the middle of nowhere? And yeah, no reports on that yet, so who knows?
Yeah. No final. I wanted to make a documentary called The Matrix Was a Documentary. And well, that part's true, but this part's not. What if you just open with a 10-minute long take of David Icke eating pizza? That's all you need, man.
That's just that's you know it, God, I hope not. The one thing he told me that kind of it tripped me out was he said, people ask, how does this power structure stay in existence? And he said, it's just pure terror that keeps people in line. And they said, well, what is so scary? Why, and he's like, well, besides the obvious, which is assassination of one's family, kidnapping, torture, blah, 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 all the typical things you could expect. quite frankly, the royals and the people at the very top simply just aren't human. They're wearing a flesh suit. And then he's like, you know, so how terrifying is it if somebody rips their skin off and up they stand and they're 20 feet tall and they're a Draconis Prime with big wings and they could rip your head off? You just die of fright. And he's like, that's how the power structure stays in place. And I'm like, damn, David Icke, you almost convinced me.
Draconis Prime. Wait a minute. You had a one-on-one with David Icke?
No. I've just watched enough because, you know, I've seen enough of his stuff. You know, I've seen enough of his stuff because it's fascinating. But if you use logic, you see that these people truly do. They are worried and they do care. If they were indestructible aliens or some 20 feet tall Draconis Prime, you know, dragon lords, you know, maybe they could get killed with enough people shooting them. Who knows? Maybe they're scared in that regard that they're mortal. But I mean, honestly, would they have anything truly to fear? So, you know, the power structure at the top's human. Do they get orders from beyond? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The craziest of them are probably even possessed for all we know. But, you know, that's where when I think of advanced aliens, I think of like interdimensionals and, you know, the Cthulhu myth from H.P. Lovecraft and, you know, Aleister Crowley and people that were able to channel like different entities into the body and kind of take it over at a certain time and open portals and crap like that. That's what I'm starting to think of, as opposed to like E.T., Predator, the alien, spaceships, all that kind of
stuff.
Well,
I mean, if you think about an alien that is, you're traveling, the distance between even just the nearest star is so vast that it doesn't make sense that they'd be coming here for resources. It just doesn't.
No, and if dark matter can create an energy as a vacuum, so you have an endless supply around you of 0 point, you don't need that anyway. You just bend space-time at your convenience, right, or you find particular places where the sacred geometry is right. And a lot of people have said, you know, almost all the UFOs come in and around the sun. There's a portal right by the sun. They have a camera pointing right at it all the time, and UFOs always come in and out of there, and then they soak the sun's energy up to like refuel, and then they bounce out. So there's some kind of a sinkhole right there.
The one of the Podesta emails was an email from Edgar Mitchell, and he's the astronaut who's a big UFO proponent, and he was talking about zero energy transfer. And when I went to Contact in the Desert, which is a just incredible UFO festival, it's not just about aliens. It's about all kinds of the various masks on society. But you know, Edgar Mitchell, I mean, he was you know, I don't know if he's technically an astrophysicist, but Stanton is. And they're saying that that's, you know, if there are aliens out there, that's how they would travel. I mean, you have to fold the points together in order to travel between these distances are just too vast. Right now, our fastest probe would take our fastest probe going at its full speed, it would take it 80,000 years to reach Alpha Centauri.
And look truly, the vastness of the distance is part of some great scheme and some great design, because it provides you protection. You can absolutely defend these alleyways. This allows planets to have evolution, because it's tough to find a new sphere and a new way to find a new place. And when it does happen, it's guarded secretly and it's controlled like crazy, which we see happening.
All right. Well, we got a little off topic tonight, but it all blends together.
Don't love let each other pass this shit, people.
Love each other, be good to each other, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.